Okay, guys, I'm only doing this because I was asked to do this, and it's probably, how many of you are married? It's good that she's not here right now. This song gets me in trouble. And when I was writing this song, my wife made it very, very obvious that she didn't like it, at least the first part, but she didn't listen through to the end. So when I got to the end of it, I was out of the doghouse. So let's see.
Oh, man.
Are you guys doing okay?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but on days like this, maybe you do too, I'm for some reason, all the rain songs come to mind. Anybody got a favorite rain song? What's that? Yeah, anybody remember that one? It's raining, it's pouring. Anybody? Yeah. Anybody? Your hands are still busy eating or what? Any other rain songs? When the rain comes, they run and hide their heads. I can't do it like John or Paul did it, but and the raindrops keep falling on my head.
Yep. It never rains in California.
It never rains in Southern California, yeah. I had this weird thing happen yesterday. Does anybody else here keep a journal? Or just a notebook you kind of put your thoughts down in? Let me see the hands of the journalists here. Let me see. Anybody? Okay, this is... I've got a couple. I don't know why. I'm a confused man. But I got somebody gave me this one, and I started making these little ones because they fit in my pocket. But you know what else they do? They fall out of my pocket. So a week ago, I'm sitting in a theater with my wife, and we got out, and we went to dinner, and we came out of the restaurant, and I'm walking towards our car, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I know I had that journal with me. And I couldn't find it anywhere. I searched at the church office. I searched in my car, and I thought, oh, I think it was in my little front pocket of my hoodie, and I bet it fell out in the theater. So she'd gone home because we met at the church. So she drove home. I said, babe, I'm going to go back and see if I can find it. And I went with another movie's already in process, but I said, you know, it's probably a slow night. Is it okay if I go and look in? If nobody's sitting where I was, can I go search for that? He said, yeah, but don't disturb anyone. So I went and I searched and it wasn't there. And I'm thinking, oh, man, now what was in that book? Because I know I had tons of thoughts. You know, as a pastor, you're writing down ideas and message ideas. And so anyway, I looked everywhere, couldn't find it. And I said, I bet anything it's in that theater. So I went back and I said, can I look? And they said, yeah, and I found it. It was jammed right between the seats. And so, oh, this is not the end of the story. Yesterday, and then when I went home, I said, you know, I better write my name in this thing because it wasn't in there. Just in case that ever might happen again. That will never happen again. But I better put my name in it. So I put my name and my email address and my telephone, and I went to Seal Beach yesterday to hang out with a brother, have a little bit of coffee, talk, and pray a little bit. Just a really great brother. He's on the police department down in Long Beach. And his father probably arrested me for shoplifting when I was a teenager because his dad ended up as the chief of police down there for years. But anyway, so we're sitting there talking, and he said, hey, let's walk out on the pier and look at this storm surf. There were just crazy guys out there trying to surf that storm surf. So we took some pictures, and I'm driving back to Huntington Beach, and I get a call from Colorado. In Colorado, it's probably my friend Ed Taylor, the pastor out there, calling from the church. And I say, hey, this is Bill. And the person said, yeah, I think I've got your journal. And what? No, this can't be. And so sure enough, they said, yeah, we found it out on the pier. And I thought, oh, my gosh, it's the second time I've lost that thing in less than 1 week. And this lady said, well, you better chain it to me or something because we got it. So I went back, and there they were. I'm walking into a restaurant like this. They said, no, we're in the way in the back of the, what do they call it, the hangout down there. So I'm walking in, and the people looking at me probably said to her, I think this was probably the guy. And her back to me, she just held it up in the air. And so I came, and I got it, and I said, this is amazing. I got your phone call, saw Colorado, and I thought it was my pastor friend who pastors a church in Colorado. Lady sitting beside her says, is his name Ed Taylor? said, how do you know that? He said, well, that's my pastor, but why in the world would I have said that to you? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe somebody. It is a small world, but I know where I was going with this.
The life of the journal.
It's the life of the journal. That's part of it. Part of the life of the journal. How many of you guys lose important stuff? Okay, now listen. How many of you lose hold of important truth in life? You know, and I told this lady, I said, there's something in that journal God does not want me to lose. If he's given it back to me two times like that. And so I need to look through there and just find what that is. But this is one of those things. If you're married, how many of you are not married, but you hope to be someday? All right. Then you're going to need to remember. Now, again, for those who are married, let me see the hands again of those who you found out. Wait a minute now. Here's the follow-up question. How many of you have found there are differences between you and your wife? This song is for you. Here you go. Well, I drive fast, you drive slow, and I like the beach, and you like the snow. Oh, baby, we just don't see eye to eye. Cause I like my pepper and you like your salt, and I like milkshakes and you like malt. So it's not my fault that we don't see eye to eye. You like to plan, I'd rather just go. You want a pretty little kitty, I said no, no, no. And I don't know why, but we don't see eye to eye. I like classical and you like the blues. That's just one more difference between me and you. Oh, it's true that we don't see eye to eye. Have I hit any soft spots for you guys yet? No need to talk about absolution. I've come up with a perfect solution. Listen very carefully to me. I'm just gonna say this, and I hope that it floats, and you might even want to take a few notes. I guess that we better just do things my way. Amen? Will she go for that? Probably not. So anyway, it goes on. I like to sing, you like to dance, and I guess you could say that we both love romance, and there might be a chance that we might see eye to eye. Cause I love Jesus and you do too, and you love me, and I'm crazy about you. I'm a big deal, baby. We see eye to eye. Admit to one another in the fear of the Lord, and let's serve one another. Let's walk in His Word, and I know we'll start to see things His way. Or something like that. I left out a couple of verses. I didn't know that I was going to be sharing that, so I didn't bring my cheat sheet. But I think I left out a couple of verses there. Well, it was unplanned for me to be here today. But I got a message. Hey, we have a change of plans, and can you make it down to be with the guys? So I'm really excited to be here, and I'm excited to be anywhere. Anybody feel that way?
Yeah.
Anybody else but me live a life where today you're surprised to be alive? I shouldn't be alive. I mean, that little story about my friend's dad probably being a guy. Well, he could have likely been a guy that arrested me one of the times that I was arrested before I got saved. But I'm just very, very thankful that God shined down His grace on me and made something out of my life that I never could have made out of my life. And just so, so grateful for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I want to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 2. How many of you watched any bit of the inauguration yesterday? I'll tell you, for the last 2 years, I thought, there's no way in the world that Donald Trump will ever be the president of the United States. And then watched all these crazy little foibles here and there, and it's over. It's just over. And then I'm not trying to get all political on this at all, but I did find myself at one point when it was decided who's running in the two major parties thinking, this is just crazy that in a nation like this, these are the two top choices that we have. 20 years ago, I think probably there's no way in the world either one of them would have been at the front of the pack. And but I guess I'm not going to get into, you know, what I feel about either one. But here on USA Today yesterday, I can't wait to find out what the Monday paper says after the results. And we all knew there was going to be demonstrations. We all knew there'd be happy people and angry people and people on both sides of this. But I found interesting the front page and the title, you know, the big story at the top is Trump's big test, finding his voice. I don't think he's really had a real hard time finding his voice. He's had a pretty strong voice, but I'll tell you what I am going to be doing for the next 4 years, I guess at least 4 years, who knows, is I'm going to be praying for that man. I'm going to be praying for my president. You know, whether or not I voted for him is not the issue. But when someone rises to that position, in whatever nation, you've got Paul saying stuff that sounds almost crazy. In Romans chapter 13, Paul says, I want you to submit yourself to those that are in authority over you. And when you look at the different levels that he's talking about, I mean, it almost sounds like you want to have a conversation with Paul, like, Paul, wait a minute, hang on. Did you really mean that to the people of Rome? He's writing that letter for everybody to read, but specifically to the people of Rome? You know who was about to become the emperor of Rome? Still while Paul was alive, was Nero. Paul was probably put to death under Nero, maybe even by Nero's charge. We don't know. But there were a string of emperors and Caesars, 10 of them, that were just insane, probably literally insane, but persecutors of people like you. And I'm assuming it's people like you. Is there anybody in here that loves Jesus? I'm ashamed to say that. They were after you. And sometimes it was mild. It was just like, and even before there was anybody that would have been called a Christian, it was Caligula. One of the guys before Nero that decided, I just want all Jews out of Rome. Just get out of Rome. Get out of the city of Rome. Just go wherever you want to go, but get out of my sight. And so we know in the book of Acts, a husband and wife were in that group of Christians that had been ejected from Rome, Aquila and Priscilla. So they take their tent-making tools and they bump into Paul in Corinth. And they start doing some work on, you know, making tents or maybe making tool bags for guys and also doing some great stuff for Jesus. But we were chased all over the place. And here's Paul saying, I want you to submit. Come on, Paul, what do you mean? What do you mean submit to Nero? Submit to Caligula? Submit to all these maniacs that made their way to the top? Well, it was always a submission to the point where if you were ordered to disobey God, what do? You obey God. And you're within the law because you're ready to face the consequences for obeying God. I love when Peter and John are arrested and they're told, shut up. They said, stop talking about Jesus. And then they're all arrested in chapter 5. And they're told the same thing, stop talking about Jesus. And I love the answer back. They say, well, now you decide. Should we obey God or should we obey you? Because we can't stop talking about the things we've seen and the things we've heard. We can't stop passing on good news. And so this mandate at a time like this for you and I to stand up and be counted for Christ and to do some very, very specific things. I want to talk a little bit this morning, and I got to keep an eye on the time because I know we got to be out of here at a certain time. Okay, by 10 we got to be out of here? Okay. Please don't ever tell anybody at Refuge that I've talked this short, okay? Don't pass that on to anybody. Don't let them know. That's between you and me, brothers. But in, so I'm going to talk even briefer than I thought about the verbs and the nouns in our life as followers of Jesus Christ. A lot of us rest on the verbs, and we rest on the nouns, and we don't live so much in the verbs. So I want to talk about that just a little bit before we get out of here. But in 1 Timothy, in chapter 2, I heard my brother and your brother, Franklin Graham, stand up yesterday. And I love that thing he said when he stepped up to the podium. He said, "Mr. President, as soon as you came up to the platform, the rain started coming down. Rain started falling." And he said, in the Bible, I mean, let me see if I can say it like Franklin Graham said it. In the Bible, Mr. President, he said, rain is a blessing from God. And I pray for the blessing of God upon your administration or upon your presidency. And then he read this. And it was just gospel. Listen to it. So Paul says, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may live quiet, peaceful lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God, who can reconcile God and humanity. That's the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time." And then he backed up, Franklin backed up into verse 17 of the previous chapter. And here he is in a mixed crowd of lots of unbelievers and lots of people of all different faiths. Rabbi standing right behind him, and he says this. He reads from verse 17 of chapter 1. And he says, "All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God." But he read it from the New King James translation, which said, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen." And he went to praying for a president, and others did as well, but it was just powerful to listen to that word of hope in a time like this. I've been reading through the prophecy of Jeremiah. And in fact, all last year, I spent any devotional time that I had just reading very slowly through those chapters of Jeremiah. And when I finished, and you know, if you've read Jeremiah, you know he was prophesying at a very dark time in the history of the nation of Israel. You guys do remember that Israel had been cut in half, right? There was a kingdom in the north that was 10 tribes, and the kingdom in the south that was 2 tribes. And from the time they divided, there was never, ever, ever a good king in the north. Not one good king up north. In the south, there were a handful, but just a handful. And so Jeremiah is prophesying in the south about disaster that's coming. And he's saying, look, it's going to be bad. We're going to go away into captivity, just like God said. We've got hard days ahead for us. And then the false prophets would go out and say, oh, brothers, don't listen to that. Don't listen. That guy doesn't know what he's talking about. The temple's here. God's not going to judge Jerusalem. We got the temple. But don't worry about it. It's all going to be rosy. It's all going to be good. And they lied to the people. And Jeremiah said, don't listen to the lying prophets who tell you this. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord are these. As if that temple's going to save us. And I love it how Jeremiah says in chapter 7, look at Bethel. What happened at Bethel? The tabernacle was at Bethel. So the temple of the Lord was there in a sense, the house of God, but look at it now, it's been destroyed. He says, no, judgment's coming. When I got done reading through Jeremiah, I went into the blues of Jeremiah. Anybody know what book that is? Lamentations. That's what Lamentations mean. It's blues. The Bible's full of blues songs. And Lamentations is five chapters, which apparently are five different pieces of poetry or songs, blues songs, that that Jeremiah wrote. And chapter after chapter, it's like, oh, it's dark. It's just so, so, so dark. And it never comes to a resolve like my little song about my wife in the blues does. But it's just dark. But here he says in the middle of it all, where he says, God's going to take this away, it's gone. This away, it's gone. One thing after the other, it's gone. All those systems you leaned on, they're gone. But Jeremiah says this, right in the middle, in chapter 3, in verse 21, after prophesying everything that he's prophesied, he says this, and yet I still choose to hope in God. He says, and here's why. Let me read it to you. In Lamentations, if you got it there, it's attached almost to Jeremiah, right at the back of it. Listen to this. In verse 21, he says, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. Now listen to what he remembers. He's filled his book with all kinds of dark stuff, but he says, I will not forget this. Let me see the hands of any brothers here who've walked through some dark stuff. Anybody walking through some dark stuff now, some hard stuff right now? He says, but I dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. See, Jeremiah saw the nation being taken away. He had property. In fact, you remember this? Jeremiah was told by God, go buy a piece of land in the nation you've just prophesied is going to be ripped away from you. What kind of an insane person would invest in real estate when you know that ISIS is coming in and is going to take away every piece of real estate? And by the way, I'm not prophesying that. But if you believe that, why would you buy a piece of property that you know is going to be stolen away from you? Because he rested on the promise of God that the people would come back. And so he says, I choose to dare to hope. I will continue to hope no matter what I see around me. Why am I talking about this on a day like this? Here's why. Because I think that there are too many Americans and too many even Christian Americans that I think are celebrating as if Jesus Christ was just inaugurated as our president. And they think, as thankful as I am that the election didn't go the other way, my hope is not in a president. My hope is in a king. My hope is in the King of Kings. I will pray for my president, and I'll continue to call for prayer for him, and I will write to him, and I will encourage him, and I'll let him know that Jesus loves him, and that he wants to do a great thing in him and through him and for him. But my hope will remain in a king, the King of Kings, not just a president. I want to read something to you that I posted up on a couple of different social media platforms yesterday, and I just want to read this to you. If I can get there quickly, and then we're going to have communion here in a moment. But listen to this. Here we go. I put it like this, Romans 13, a little graphic where it says, pray for our president, live for our king. Romans 13. May we temper our inauguration elation with the reality that we have far more to do with making America great again than our elected leaders do. May we speak the truth. May we walk in love. May our voices be raised in fervent protest against evil when 3,000 innocent lives are lost in the U.S. every day through abortion. So yes, let's pray for Trump and all our elected officials, but let's live for our King Jesus and begin these 100 days of prayer. And the next one I posted up was the first 100 days. They say the first 100 days of a presidency is really, really crucial to set the tracks you're going to run on. First 100 days in office for an incoming president are crucial. As we prayed for President Obama, let's now pray for President Trump. 100 days of prayer. Though our nation is deeply divided, may we be united at least in prayer, and may we again become great by God's definition of greatness. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 33, verse 12. So I believe that our call is to live in the verbs. of what it means to be a Christian, which, by the way, is not a term that was ever used for us by Jesus. It was used for us, I think it was in Corinth, wasn't it, or Athens, somewhere in Greece, which says that's where they first started calling them Christians, or was it up in Antioch somewhere? And it was used as a derogatory term. It's like on the ticket you were given, admit one Jesus freak. Well, I was one of those original Jesus freaks. And when they call us Jesus freaks, it wasn't meant to be a nice term. It was a put-down. We were freaks before that. Now that we were living for Jesus, we're still freaks, but we're Jesus freaks. And we took that as a badge of honor. But when they called them Christians, it wasn't because of what they called themselves. It was because they watched, not the nouns, but they watched them living the verbs. We need to live in the verbs, not the verbs, but the verbs. You know what I mean when I say verbs and nouns? The difference between what the verbs and nouns are in a Christian life? How many of you guys are in the military? Did they ask you what your religion you were? And they put it on your dog tag. The nouns are those things that we use to describe ourselves, but they're just the dog tag part. I'm a Christian. Or maybe for some it was, I'm a Catholic. And there was a difference in those days between Catholic and Christian. But I'm not just a Christian. I'm a special kind of Christian. Aren't you? See, I'm a Protestant Christian. But that's still just a noun, and I haven't told you anything about me and what I do. I'm not just a Protestant Christian. I'm a Calvary Chapel Protestant Christian. And I'm not just a Calvary Chapel Protestant Christian. I'm a Refuge Huntington Beach Calvary Chapel Protestant Christian. I still haven't told you anything about how I live my life. I've just given you a noun. I've just given you a little, as they say, a moniker. I just told you, I've just given you my dog tag. But the verbs, when Jesus called his disciples, he didn't just slap nouns on us. He would call us the light of the world. But that light isn't light unless it does what? Has to shine. He did say you're the salt of the earth. But that salt has to be spread out. It has to be sprinkled around. But when he called his followers, that's what he called them. He said, follow me. That's a verb. He was saying, walk with me. That means go where I go. What else did he use? What are the kind of verbs that Jesus used when he called us to follow?
Love.
He said, love. Love is a verb. Love is not just a noun. It's a verb. And love is something that I should be able to love my wife in such a way that I don't even need to tell her, though I will, because I'm not a stupid man.
Yeah.
I will tell her I love her. But she should be able to tell me before I tell her that I love her. She should be able to tell her friends, my husband really loves me. Not just because he tells me, but because of the verbs, because of what he does for me. The other verbs, Jesus said, believe in me. Trust me. Follow me. Do my will. And some of you, he would say, I'm going to ask you to die for me. That's that final verb. The final verb. See, brothers, I believe that if we, in this age in which we live, and what a great time to live, if we will rise up and live in the verbs of what it means to be a follower, or if you want to continue to use the term Christian for ourselves, but followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, if we will live in the verbs, what did Jesus say would happen if we would love one another? He said, the world will know that you're my disciples. He didn't just stop there. See, that's the noun. He didn't just say, they'll know you're my disciples. But he said, they will believe that the Father sent the Son. And what happens then? Well, then they become disciples. And they believe. But he said, if you will love one another, you'll believe that the Father sent me and that I sent you. So the verse that I read to begin with where Paul said, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for everybody. Everybody that's in authority. All men. Don't forget the king. Don't forget the president. Don't forget the senators and the congressmen. Don't forget your pastor. Don't forget your wife. Pray for everyone. And then he says, because this is a faithful saying, there's one God. There's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. There's one way to be right with God. Amen? Anybody believe that? There's one way to be right with God. There's not two different gospels. One for the rich and one for the poor. One for the guy that lives at the top of Trump Towers, and another one for the guy that camps out at the base of the watchtowers. It's the same gospel. We all got to come to the foot of the cross. We all have to trust in Jesus. There's the verb again. We got to trust Him that what He did was enough for us. Amen. It's all that we need. I love the way that Jeremiah said, in spite of all the darkness that I see around me, I found an anchor for my life. I will dare to hope. In Zechariah, he says, come on back to the stronghold. This is a great term. All you prisoners of hope. I'm a prisoner of hope. I am locked up in hope with Jesus Christ. And I know that if you and I will live in the verbs of what it means to follow Jesus, we're going to find peace in our hearts no matter what we face in our culture. Can I say something to you? I would put it short of prophecy. I'm not going to say this is prophetic, but I do believe that our nation is in for even harder times. I believe there's challenges ahead for us. And I believe that God has called you and I, like I posted up there, I believe He's called you and I to live out loud for Jesus, to love people in Jesus' name. A young lady in our church is serving and studying medicine down in Guatemala. Beautiful, beautiful young lady. Known her since she was a kid. She was a powder keg of emotions and drama when she was a kid. And now that she's 22 or something like that, she is so full on for Jesus. So she works in this hospital. And she works in the ER in a drug-infested neighborhood in Guatemala. And she works in the morgue, and she sees the violence because of gangs. She sees the bodies of young men and beautiful young women that have been the victims of violence. She lives in the middle of that, and she just lives the verbs of Jesus, of loving and trusting and following Him. One day she's walking with another friend from the hospital, and they're out in the streets, and a guy jumps in front of them with a knife and says, give me everything you got. Give me your money. Give me your valuables. Give me that watch off your wrist. And Juliet is her name. And this, you see, if I was Juliet and I'm standing in that situation, I wouldn't have said what she said. I would have said to the guy, look behind you, and then I'm running the other way. But she didn't do that. She looked him in the face and she said, what's your name? What's your name? Girl, get out of there. She says, what's your name? She said, that guy with the knife in his fist dropped his hand down. And he looked at her and he said, what's my name? She said, nobody's asked my name for years. Why would you ask me my name? And she said, because I believe Jesus wants you to know that He loves you. He loves you, and you don't have to live like this. And he started weeping. And he said, no one's ever asked my name for years and years. And you asked my name. Turns out he was a backslidden Christian from Belize who'd crossed the border and robbing people. And they got to share Jesus with him. And as he turned around and starts walking back in the other direction, he's singing the hymns that he learned when he was a kid. Because a young lady lived the verbs that day. And she loved her enemy who was in her face, ready for all she knew to take her life, and she'd become one of the victims of violence in that drug-infested neighborhood. Brothers, if my sweet little sister can do that, then she's become my current hero in the faith right now, because she was unafraid to live that out. And you know what she did? Is she just simply, in the same way Jesus did, she stepped into his sandals, and she's loving people for Him. And that's what Jesus said to do. He said, you've watched me love you, now you go love one another. You've watched me touch the broken, you've watched me touch the untouchables, now let's go do that. Let's go plunge into this world as prisoners of hope and dare to continue the hope that in days like this, you know who's needed? Yes, we need good leadership, but you know who's needed? The light, the salt, the followers, the believers, the trusters, the people that are living, that are willing to live all out, continue, ready to go just all out for Jesus Christ and live without fear and live without shame. And I just pray that that's us in this generation, because I believe our voice, I hope we can find our voice. I hope Trump finds the right voice, but I hope we can find our voice and let our voice be filled with His truth and His word. Amen? Let's pray together. And have the guys come up and get ready to lead us through communion. Oh, we're just right. Okay, Father God, in Jesus' name, as this restaurant gets ready to open, Lord, we just pray, Father, that we would, Father, that we would become those true followers. Not just people who get our doctrine right, Lord. That's important, but brothers that get our life right, that walk with you, Lord, with power that only can come from you. So, Father, today we just want to lift our hearts before you. And even as Jeremiah would say, lift our hands to you, Lord, lift our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. And Father, we say today, Lord, here am I, God. Fill me and use me. If that's you guys, I want to ask you, just lift your hands with me. I'm not even looking around to see who's lifting their hands, but anybody that would say, God, I lift my heart with my hands to you in the heavens. Fill me with your spirit. Use me. So, Father, here am I. Let's say that to God. Here am I. Here am I, God. Here am I. Fill me with your spirit. Use me for your glory. Help me to live in the verbs of what it means to follow you and to love you and to love the lost and to love my brothers and sisters in the strong name of Jesus. The rest of my life is yours. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. As communion comes around, how do you do this, Dan? Do you?
Yeah, however you want to.
Okay. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said something about that bread they'd never heard attached to that Passover bread, that flat little matzah. He lifted it up and he said, this is my body that's given for you. This is my body. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Let me tell you what that means, guys. He was saying, don't you ever forget what it cost me to save you. Don't ever forget how much I loved you, that I would go this far for you. So, Father, in Jesus' name today, as we take this bread, as we take this cup, we do it in remembrance, grateful, joyful remembrance that you paid the only price that was necessary, the only price that would ever be accepted for our salvation. You did it through the body and blood of Jesus. And we take this bread right now, Lord, and we say thank you, and we remember. Amen. Let's take the bread, and then let's sing, and then we'll do the cup.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're tired and you are thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and you are thirsty, oh, there is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy.
Hey guys, let's stand together. Can we do this? You know why? Because what this cup represents, it puts us back on our feet. We'd all crumbled, we'd all fallen because of sin. All of us. And what Jesus did and what this cup represents, the bucket of blood that poured from his veins, it was shed to make you clean, to make me clean, to heal what's broken in me. to fill this empty soul of mine. I remember a guy that wrote a song called Empty as a Pocket. Empty as a Pocket. I remember when I heard that, I thought, man, that was me. I was just, because my pockets were always empty in those days. Just empty as can be. But I want you to remember something. When you take this cup, there's another cup that some people will taste of because they refuse this cup of forgiveness. They'll taste of the cup of God's wrath. And that's not a sweet cup. That cup is as bitter a cup as there ever will be. But we get to taste of the sweet in this cup because Jesus took the bitter cup. And he drained that bitter cup. He tasted of the wrath of God for us, so none of us have to. So Father, in Jesus' name again, we stand, Lord, on our feet to say thank you today for raising us up by the power of the blood and the sacrifice of the body of Christ for us. And we rejoice in this sweet reminder today, Lord, that our sins are forgiven and heaven is our home and our future is very, very bright in you. And we stand as prisoners of hope, Lord. And we choose, Lord, we desire and we choose today to still hope in your goodness because of your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for the blood of Christ. In his name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Let's drink this sweet cup and this sweet reminder of his love for us. Amen.
Amen.
Freedom lays in this place. There is a good sea and grace. This freedom,
Jesus, you raise this place.
Jesus, you raise in this place.
Showers
of mercy and grace falling on every face.
Freedom
reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
There is freedom of the Lord.
There is freedom of the Lord. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom.
Amen. Amen.
There is
Amen.
Freedom.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, guys, if you ever see this laying on the ground somewhere, please, please return it to me. God bless you guys. Grace and peace on you. Bear each other's burdens. Love one another. Keep living in the verbs. God bless you.